It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. And on deck today is Corn Pop.
Mark? Chuck, I got to tell you, buddy, I was down at the city pool here recently. And yeah.
I grew up swimming in the city pool, by the way.
And I wanted to just get to know the black community. So I went down, I worked at the pool, and there was a black guy named Corn Pop on the diving board. And I said, hey, Esther Williams.
Esther Williams? Seriously? Esther?
He called him Esther Williams. And while he's doing that, these little black kids are standing around him, and they're all going, what?
Yeah, who's Esther Williams? I don't know.
Corn Pop? Who's Esther Williams? And that's so, at any rate, Corn Pop,
yeah,
he was a bad dude.
He's a bad dude. As dudes go, he was a bad dude.
He was a bad dude. And if you did you listen to the whole story?
Oh, yeah, yeah. How he you're going to meet him in the parking lot, and he wrapped a chain, went down with the maintenance guy, and got a chain that was on the fence and wrapped it around his arm. He's going to chain him when he got to his car. And then he apologized to Corn Pop for calling him Esther, and Corn Pop said, you apologizing? Yeah, I'm apologizing. I'm sorry.
And Corn Pop was banging his straight razor on the curb.
Oh, that's right.
Get it rusty.
Yeah, to get it rusty, right?
Because back in the day, the thing you wanted to do was give everybody tetanus. That's how you mess somebody up.
Not this is quite a story, though. That was a real interesting walk down memory lane with Joe. And in a way, I got to tell you, I kind of wish people would leave Joe alone. I would really like Joe to be the nominee and run, and because the stories are just so colorful.
I mean, Corn Pop, the gangsta.
I don't know. You know, it was back in the day, so could be.
Everybody knows that there's a gangsta in the hood named Corn Pop,
a bad dude.
And of course, it's always easy to find a length of chain lying around at a black neighborhood because there's chains laying all over the place. What is with Biden and chains anyway?
I don't know. The same thing. I thought the same thing when he started talking about having a chain. I thought, you know, we're going to chain you all up and all this kind of stuff that he used to say. And he's got this whole thing with chains. You're right. It's odd.
And it seems that the whole inappropriateness of telling a story in this black neighborhood where he's saying, mm-hmm, I was the only white guy there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just sounded like a racist.
I tell you something that's going on, Mark, and I know you're aware of it, and I think most people are, but the Democrats are desperate at this point to not have the black vote turn on them. There are so many people that are in the black community that are leaving and just walking away from the Democrat Party because all they've done is talk. They haven't done anything for them. And so they are, I don't know what the percentage is, but it doesn't take much of a percentage to turn that around, and it will turn the election around. And they are scared to death of that. And so they're, you know, Joe's making an attempt. Everybody's trying to pander to them. And I don't know whether it'll work or not, because Trump's giving them, you know, jobs, best job report in the history, and women, you know, black people, Latinos. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, I did a little research on something that we've talked about in this show, and this is why the blacks are part of the Democratic Party.
Well, I thought, you know, wasn't this because of Martin Luther King or something and Nixon?
Actually, historically, it isn't.
Because I heard that I'd heard that all my life, so that's why I thought that Martin Luther King was in jail or something, and Nixon wouldn't do anything for him, so JFK did. And JFK apparently was a senator at the time.
Get some background on this. First off, remember, you have the whole Southern strategy where the two parties changed places.
Which didn't happen.
Correct. Everybody got up and switched seats. They all went to the other side of the aisle. And
two senators. Correct. By the way, it did happen. There were two senators, and that was it.
Out of 535.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all of Congress.
Right. So not exactly a mass rotation of party.
So what you're saying is it's not true what they say?
Well, I'm going to give you a little
history. Anything true what they say?
We've talked in this show about the Democratic Party being the party of racism going back quite a while.
Historically, that is absolutely true.
But I'm going to give you a little bit of history that I think most people don't realize. And that history is simply this. When you look at, I'm going to go back to Abraham Lincoln. When Abraham Lincoln was running for his second term, he was concerned that he wouldn't win. The population was growing weary of the war. So what Lincoln did was he nominated as his vice president Andrew Johnson. What most people don't realize.
Who was a horrible human. I mean, he was a terrible person.
And he was a Democrat.
Right.
Most people don't realize the Republican.
Was he from the South?
He was from Tennessee.
Which would have been considered in those days the South for sure.
Right. So he was a Democrat, Southern Democrat, who stayed loyal to the Union.
He's the one who put Jim Crow in place, isn't he?
Correct.
Yeah.
So what most people don't realize.
After Abraham Lincoln died.
So I think what first thing I want people to understand is, had Lincoln not been shot,
right,
the entire movement of race relations and benefits and access to economics and voting and everything for African Americans would have probably been accelerated by 50 to 70 years. Because Lincoln was trying to institute something that he called Reconstruction.
Right.
Lincoln, now people had to put this in time. Lincoln was shot only, 5 days after the Civil War ended. So he never had a chance to instill Reconstruction. When Andrew Johnson became president, he immediately built a coalition with the Southern Democrats and the Northern Democrats, because people need to understand the North was not monolithic against slavery either. There were plenty of people in the North, Democrats, who still wanted slavery. Now, Andrew Johnson was a guy who campaigned on keeping slavery. When he became president, he immediately killed Reconstruction and ushered in the black laws, ushered in Jim Crow laws, and essentially did everything he could to put the blacks back into slavery.
This is
the Democrats.
Yeah, I'm well aware of this, but I'm not so sure that many of our listeners are well aware of it, nor, you know, I don't know. A lot of people just don't like to go back in history and, you know, figure out what really went on.
So when you look at the history of black voting, blacks were historically Republican.
Right, right. Well, Martin Luther King was a Republican.
When they started to shift, where the shift started was actually under FDR.
Really?
That's when you started to see some shift.
Yeah, I remember that FDR wouldn't fly with a black pilot in the Second World War. And his wife said, well, heck with that, I'm going to fly with one. So she went over and flew with a black pilot. And it was a big deal back then. I don't know, there's a Tuskegee Airmen or whatever it was.
Tuskegee Airmen.
They made a big deal about her flying with a black pilot because they felt like blacks couldn't fly an airplane, which is just insane. But, you know, whatever. You know, it's just amazing how their prejudice, how deep it ran. And it's still alive today, not necessarily with black people, but with everybody else. It's just the same kind of prejudice.
But I think what is happening now is the African-American community is starting to come back around and realize the Republicans are the right party.
I do, too. There are a lot of advocates with Candace Owens and Kanye West. And I mean, they're kind of all over the board. They're every place. And then everyday common people I see on my Twitter feed will have things acknowledging Trump and what he's done and very Trumpian. So it's really starting to spread.
I think
because I mean, after all, it makes sense. You know, when someone who is in the position of president doesn't give you lip service and actually does something for you in spite of lip service, you've got to respond to it to a certain extent. And of course, Democrats are around saying nobody's feeling this economic blast that we're in, that it's not real, and it's just the upper echelon of people, and they're creating jobs left and right, and people are taking jobs left and right, and the I forget what the unemployment role is, or not the welfare's been cut by millions of people, and they're all working now. So, you know, I think that the Democrats really look at this and say, oh, you don't want to work. You don't want to work anyway, and we don't really want you to work. So we'll do everything we can to keep you from working, and we'll just pay you through the government. And I think they underestimate the intelligence and the will for black people to want to support themselves like every other American does. So they treat them like an outclass. And I think they're catching on. I really do.
Well, sure. I mean, because I think like any group, they're starting to figure out that welfare you don't get enough money on welfare to live a good life. You get enough money, you get a subsistence.
Right.
And when people are given opportunity to actually go out and earn a living and to actually make a better life.
What was that Nancy Pelosi said about welfare, that it contributed to something? It was an insane remark.
Oh, you're welfare. Talking about how it increases the economy?
Yes. I mean, seriously?
Well, check this out. Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie wants free everything except free people. Right. Bernie put out a tweet saying that if we follow me, we're now. This is his exact tweet. If we cancel all student debt, because you can just cancel debt. Have you called your mortgage company and just
try it? Mortgage? Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna cancel this debt here. Mm-hmm. So if you cancel the debt, which is $1.6 trillion, Bernie says that will generate over $1 trillion in new economic money over 10 years. Okay, so the first question is you eat $1.6 trillion to get back $1 trillion over 10 years. That's not how investment works.
Well, you know, investment, when the word investment is used by a Democrat, it usually involves taxes, not anything else. They're talking about taxing you. And so, they will tax you to death. I mean, they always do. They always have. And people still say, well, you know, the tax the rich. Well, they never tax. They tax everybody. They don't just tax the rich. They say that's who they're going to tax, but that's not what they do.
But if we eat $1.6 trillion, we'll get back $1 trillion over 10 years.
Yeah.
So we still lost the money factor on that plus, you know, 0.6 trillion. His next comment is that if you wipe out student debt, it will generate 1.5 million new jobs.
So let me ask you a question. What is the history of this whole student debt thing? Who put that into place that the government was going to loan the money to students and it was going to be something that you had to pay back or the government would come get you?
Student loans have been originally student loans were done by banks.
Right, I know, but then it became a government thing. Who decided the government could handle that better than the banks?
Obama took it away from the banks.
Exactly.
And made it a federal program.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Maxine Waters drags the banks in to ask them why they're doing that because she doesn't know.
Realize the government
banks don't make these loans.
And it goes back to the old thing. The government never does it better than the private sector ever. And then on top of that, the consequence is that professors' salaries go up, everything goes up, college tuition goes up. It just keeps because they know they're going to get paid. So they just keep increasing it because the government's got it backed up.
Right. When you look at the cost of higher education,
it's insane.
It goes up at 7, 10, 11% annually. Mm-hmm. What else goes up at that rate?
I remember I went to a university. I'm not going to mention it, but you know, because people might take some kind of revenge on them. But I went to university and it was $2,000 a semester.
But here's the issue,
Jim. And that was with my house and everything.
One of the things that's happening with these student loans, when you went to school, when I went to school, although I'm literally back in school now, but that's another story. But anyways, you worked while you were in school, mm-hmm. right?
I had a job, yeah.
And you had, you may have had a full-time job or at least a part-time job.
I had a job at a men's clothing store.
Okay. So when student loans started, you got a student loan to help pay for, to help pay with the tuition and to help pay with your books, but you weren't borrowing living expenses. Mm-hmm. Now what's happened with student loans now is you can borrow all the living expenses.
Well, but back to my point, the more money that's, that the government provides, the higher the price for colleges, the more tuition costs, the more everything costs.
Well,
because
sure,
they know it's backed by the government, so they can raise it to anything they want.
Right. Think about the business of being a school, guaranteed income. You know, all you got to do is bring students in. Government's going to guarantee paying it. And nobody's measuring and holding you accountable for success and failure.
It's an insidious plan that Democrats formulated on students and parents, and then they turn around and say it's horrible. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
So I think the way to fix the student loan issue, the first thing they should do with student loans is, if the government is going to be in the business of student loans,
they shouldn't be in the business of student loans. That's what I think.
I agree. But if they're going to be, then the first thing is, we should only loan money for jobs, for positions that the country needs. Hmm. We don't need more people studying women's studies and underwater basket weaving.
Right. Yeah.
So let's say, okay, we need this many doctors. We need this many engineers. This is what's available. The second thing I think should happen.
Speaking of doctors, let me interrupt you just a minute. We will be 130,000 short doctors because of Obamacare.
Correct. So if we're going to be in the business of educating people, let's educate people into jobs that we need.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, make the students take tests to qualify for it. And here's where I think it becomes. Hold the universities accountable for graduating the students.
Well, that's asking a lot.
Because watch how many students won't make it into university if the university has to decide whether they have the ability to graduate.
Mm-hmm. Well, they used to be like that, didn't they?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still some colleges that it's hard to get into, but as a rule.
Well, not if you have enough money.
Well, not if you have enough money. And that, and if your mom's willing to do 2 weeks in the hammer for you.
In federal prison.
Come on. Is she really going to go to a federal prison?
No, she's going to go to a federal prison that has a pool. I mean, you know, it's, and I, by the way, I lived in Southern California. You know, I lived in LA for 45 years. And I, no one who could possibly afford a private school would send their kids to public school. Public schools were just a wreck. You took your life in your own hands going to public schools.
Corn Pop was running all over them there.
What?
Corn Pop was running all over the public school.
Oh, it just got worse and worse and worse. So all the kids went to private school. Now, interesting thing about private schools, the teaching credentials for private schools were very different than they were for public schools. They didn't require near as much. The private school or public schools actually had much better teachers. They just had a crappy environment.
Well, did they have better teachers or did they have better credentials?
No, they had better credentials. I put it that way. They demanded better credentials.
I would agree. They probably had better credentials. The private schools probably had the better teachers.
Well, that I don't, I, you know, I can't say that because I dated a woman who was a teacher in the fourth grade and then became a principal of a public school. Mm-hmm. And she swore to me that, the public schools were far superior. The teachers were far superior to those in private schools. And I tend to agree with her.
Well, the
but anyway, this ran all this time. It just got worse and worse and worse. And I remember when Palos Verdes had the number one schools in the state and in the country and all that kind of stuff. And then they're down to like 48 or 49 now. And it's just disintegrated. As the liberal Democrats took over, the entire state disintegrated, which is why I think Trump ought to go there. And I don't know whether he's going to or not, but I think he should go to California and campaign. I think it's ripe to be taken over.
You look at what the
people there like their government, even though they vote for him. I really don't think they like him.
Well, look what Mayor Wilhelm wants to do in New York.
What now?
De Blasio, whose real name is Wilhelm.
Yeah.
Why do all the Democrats change their names? What's up with that? Why are they always changing their names?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, anyways, De Blasio is now looking to eliminate all advanced placement classes in New York.
Okay. What does that, what do you mean by that? Advanced placement.
When I was a kid in school, you had special classes for the kids that were gifted, were accelerated.
Right, right. I was never one of those kids, so I wasn't aware of
that. I was one of those kids.
I'm sure you were.
So he wants to eliminate all of the accelerated classes because that's not fair to the dumb people.
Well, this is this whole thing about social justice. Everyone's equal. Well, everyone's not equal. You know, I'll admit it. I wasn't that great of a student when I was in school. I was an average student. There were students that were far better than I was and deserved to go beyond what I could do. But we're in this whole situation where we're all equal and so it dumbs down everybody.
Right. The idea, so what he wants to do is not bring the bottom up. He wants to take the top down.
It's socialism. It's just another area of socialism, which, by the way, let me say this. And I'm sorry to just, you know, beat this to death, but if you're a progressive and you claim to be a progressive, you are a socialist.
Yes.
So please, folks, please understand that progressivism is socialism. It's Hegelism. It's Marxism, Lenin, Engels, Nietzsche. It's all of those people.
And what did Lenin say was the goal of socialism?
I don't know. What did he say?
The goal of socialism is communism.
Well, yeah, right. It's the doorway to communism, right?
But it's the goal of socialism is communism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, that's interesting. That's their philosophical leader.
Mm-hmm. When Nikita Khrushchev was walking around the cornfield trying to figure out how to grow better corn in the Ukraine with our Secretary of Agriculture, he said to him, you know, we're going to make you a communist nation. The Secretary of Agriculture said, well, over my dead body. He said, it won't take a dead body. We won't fire a shot. We'll pick you like low-hanging fruit. And they're picking right now through the Democrat Party.
Well, there's no question. Progressivism is socialism.
That's exactly what it is.
The goal of socialism is communism.
And it's statism. It's all about the government. It's not about the individual. It's completely opposite from the American concept of government.
I mean, look at Bernie Sanders. He wants guaranteed health care for all, guaranteed housing for all, guaranteed food for all, guaranteed high-paying jobs for all. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Well, do you ever notice that when I listen to beloved Fox News, no matter what, they'll separate out. They'll say the progressive wing of the party. The whole party is progressive. There's not a progressive wing to the party. And they've been progressive since Woodrow Wilson.
Well, I think everybody tries to hang on Joe Manchin.
One guy from West Virginia that always votes with the Democrats anyway.
Right.
What difference does it make?
But he sounds rational.
Right. Yeah. And he shoots a gun.
And he voted for Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. And he actually has come out in Kavanaugh's defense with his latest round of impeachment.
Well, I mean, good Lord, this whole thing is the New York Times did. Please. I mean, it was, you know, here's the thing. Everybody said they made a mistake. Then they apologized for it or whatever. They didn't make a mistake. They did exactly what they meant to do. They're saying basically to Kavanaugh, this is not about Kavanaugh, by the way. It is in a way. It's about the next Supreme Court nominee. If you think life is bad for Brett Kavanaugh, wait till you get nominated. This is going to happen to you too.
Well, right now, Klobuchar, Beta.
Well, there's like six of them.
Are all calling for Kavanaugh's impeachment.
I know. You know, that's their answer to everything now.
And here's the best part. Because he wasn't investigated the first time.
Well, according to them, no one has investigated enough. I mean, they're still investigating Trump after 2.5 years of investigation by Mueller and everybody else on the planet. It just didn't go quite far enough.
There's been...
The result they won. It's like any kind of election. If they don't win an election, then something went wrong. It's not, it's something happened that's untoward, and we need to investigate that and challenge it over and over and over again.
No candidate for the Supreme Court has ever answered as many written questions or been investigated as thoroughly as Brett Kavanaugh.
And then Brett Kavanaugh has gone with the left a couple of times trying to garner. I mean, it never works. You can't give the Democrats an inch. They will take a mile. You just can't give them anything.
Now, what's interesting is Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg has come out and said she respects and likes Kavanaugh.
I'm sure she probably does.
But that's still not enough for them.
No, it's never enough. It's never enough for them.
Their own hero is saying, this is a good judge, not enough. We don't trust you, Ruth Buzzy.
Well, division. That's how you divide and conquer.
So speaking of impeachment,
now dividing. They say Trump's a divider, when in fact they're the ones that are dividing.
Now Nadler is moving forward with impeachment of the president.
Is he just nuts or what? I mean, Nadler's just, is he that bright?
He's not bright.
I mean,
this is no kidding. He's a very low intellectual person.
I can believe that. I really can. I mean, he just, this whole impeachment thing is just, are they going to impeach him or not? I think if they had a possible chance, they would. They turned the Southern District of Manhattan against Trump now and trying to gather his, 8 years of
taxes.
Of taxes, yeah.
Nadler, first off, the first problem Nadler has is he has to stop wearing his pants under his arms.
Well, Nadler has lost a whole person, you know.
But he won't buy new clothes. So his pants, his belt is literally under his armpit.
Yeah, let's not do fat shaming on Nadler. He's got enough going.
This is fashion shaming. Go buy some clothes that fit.
Wow.
Now, Nadler says that he realizes, now check this out, he realizes that he will never impeach the president. So he has actually had a moment of clarity.
Well, he won't. They all know that. They're not going to impeach Trump.
But he says he has to go forward with everything he's doing to vindicate the Constitution.
Oh, please.
Because he's a big constitutional fan now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which I think is amazing. How do you support the Constitution by violating the Constitution?
Well, how do you call people racist and homophobes and everything by being a racist and a homophobe yourself?
I'm dumbfounded by it. It makes no sense to me. Now, here's another thing that's got me completely shocked. Well, first off, before I get to that, And we're talking about Nadler and all these lunatics.
By the way, just reminded me of something. Do you notice how spastic all these Democrats are with their hands? It's almost Nancy Pelosi on steroids. They're just, their hands are everywhere. Elizabeth Warren, hands up in the air and, you know, waving and Beto's hands everywhere. I mean, what? And Bernie Sanders is, you know, doing this with every note, pointing, and he's like pointing in your face, trying to make a point. I mean, there's something in the water there, in the Democrat water, that just turns you into a spastic. For using the word spastic, but, you know, what the heck.
Well, that you'll be accused of spasticism.
Spasticism. Spasticism.
Chuck Woolery is guilty of spasticism. I mean,
a lot of people that flail around, they all look like they're drowning and trying to save themselves.
No, actually, have you ever seen those blow up balloon guys that they put in front of the oil change shop?
Exactly. It's the same.
Where the arms are just kind of in the wind.
What is with that? I just don't get it.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15 as his arms wave in the air.
And are any of these people, I mean, forget Trump. Just take him out of the equation. You look at this lineup that the Democrats have. Is there anybody that's really appealing on any level to a sane human being? I mean, you know, you can be insane, they might be appealing to you, but.
I'm going to say the two that seem the least insane is probably Yang and Tulsi Gabbard.
I love Yang when he said I'm gonna give somebody $5,000 a week or something. I can't. He was trying to buy votes right off of Tim.
Yeah, I mean Yang basically is just running Publishers Clearinghouse
exactly.
on debates. The only thing was missing was for him to come out with like an 8-foot check.
You're right.
So with, you're the like winner. Vanna White holding a check or something.
Exactly. Very funny.
Publishers Clearinghouse. Next time you'll see him show up, he'll have the big check, some balloons, and be jumping out of a minivan. Look what you won.
Yeah, I know.
But what happened to a party? Think about Democrats. When the Democrats, we go back to John F. Kennedy and ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Now we listen to Bernie Sanders. Your country owes you a job. It owes you health care. It owes you housing. It owes you this. It owes you that. What has happened to this party?
I'll tell you something, Mark. If I would challenge our listeners to go online and read the communist, it wasn't a manifesto. It was their their constitution. Stalin wrote it in 1937 or 38. And you go and read that. And it's exactly what the Democrat Party, it's right where they are.
Correct. It is.
I mean, it's almost word for word where they are.
Well, interesting. You could actually go and read Hitler's manifesto, Mein Kampf, and you find the Democratic Party.
So what do they all have in common?
Statism.
Socialism. Statism. Exactly right.
Because this goes back to, again, this is just like Soros with his open society.
Well, this is...
Yeah, you're not smart enough to make decisions for yourself.
Yeah, it's all about the centralized government and not about the individual, which is, you know, the complete opposite on which we were founded, which is why they hate the Constitution. The Constitution is in their way of everything. It's just possibly the biggest roadblock they have.
You take a guy like Bernie Sanders, who just hates, I mean, just the vitriol and venom that just pours out of this guy when you see him speak, the way he hates business and hates anybody with money. And you can see
he's one of them. This is another thing I find ironic is that they're all talking about they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And rich people, they're all rich, every one of them.
But here's Bernie Sanders with $2.5 million in the bank and 3 houses. Mm-hmm. Last year, he donated less than 1% of his income to charity.
Well, they're not interested in charity. They believe that they're their own charity.
Now, think of this.
I mean, the Clintons donated to themselves.
He donated less than 1%.
But they do good work.
Of his income. Mm-hmm. And he has 3 homes. Now, if you're out campaigning that the government, you know, the world owes people a good residence, a good home. Why do you have 3 homes? That makes you a hypocrite. Why have you given away 1% of your
say
money?
Say this
that
like you're
makes
surprised.
You a hypocrite.
I mean, it's this
I'm
is
not surprised.
This is the thing that drives me nuts is that why people can't see the hypocrisy in the Democrat Party. I mean, I just don't understand it. It's so obvious in every. I mean, they're the only people who fly jets and swear that you can't get on one that carries 300 people, and they're on one that carries 5 people because you're going to pollute the planet. But they're okay because they're talking about not polluting the planet. I mean, it's the hypocrisy just runs deep on everything that they do and everything that they say.
This is what I want our listeners to be armed with.
For me, but not for thee.
Yes. When somebody tells you that one of these people are the right candidate, then just come out and ask him. Why does Bernie Sanders have 3 homes and he doesn't have poor people living in 2 of them? Mm-hmm. Why does he give away 1% of his money?
Why does Nancy Pelosi have a fence around her house and Barack Obama?
Correct. Why are they all flying private jets to go to climate change summits? Mm-hmm. The last climate change summit had 45 private jets parked in it at the airport.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I mean,
giant limos to carry everybody to and from and blah, blah, blah. It just goes on. It's such a farce.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they're just hypocrites. I mean, as we've said before, the climate change movement in the Democratic Party is nothing more than World War III to create an enemy so that we can convince the voters to give to voluntarily give up their right.
You know, it's it's kind of an interesting situation where almost everything the Democrats want to do will bankrupt the country. So why would they want to do that in the name of giving away everything? They would bankrupt the country. So if they bankrupt the country, which they're well on their way to doing when they're in power every time, if they bankrupt the country, what can they achieve through bankrupting our country?
Because they can personally pile up enormous amounts of wealth.
They can transfer. They can, again, transform the country. They can start at the bottom and rebuild a country that they like to see, not the country we have today. So they're against capitalism. Here we are, energy independent for the first time in 75 years. All this stuff is gone. Where would we be if Saudi Arabia was under attack by Iran today and we weren't energy independent? We would be in a hole, I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, we'd have $6 gasoline today.
We would have gasoline, you know, at prices that would be outrageous. And you know, Trump caused this. And it's the reason they hate him. I mean, all of a sudden, they're against all kinds of fossil fuels, but they've got nothing to replace it besides windmills and solar panels.
You put a windmill on an airplane, you know that.
Yeah, right. An airplane is a windmill.
But you can put solar panels on the roof and fly it with solar power.
Well, I mean, this stuff is really insane. You and I are laughing about it, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to us are, you know, finding it amusing as well. But it's really not amusing. There's a reason behind all of these movements. And the reason is dark and it is dangerous. And people really need to wake up to it. It's not saving the planet. It's destroying America.
Well, you look at these investigations of whether it's Kavanaugh or of the president. Well, we'll go to the ones with the president. None of these investigations were willing to even glance an eye toward the FISA abuse, toward McCabe, toward Comey, toward any of the wrongdoing by these political operatives. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the investigation that we had for Russian collusion was not an investigation to investigate Russian interference. It was an investigation to find out, can we find something on this president?
Hey, listen, the Obama administration allowed this to happen. It happened during the Obama administration, folks, not Trump.
And I believe it happened with Obama's direction.
Well, that we may never know.
I don't think there's much that happened around there that Obama wasn't kept informed about.
I'm convinced that's probably true. And yet at the same time.
So now we look at, I mean, think about this. The way an impeachment hearing is supposed to go, the way this is supposed to happen is the president or someone who's being impeached, like a judge.
An impeachment, number one, is a death sentence. That's really what it is. If you impeach somebody, it's a death sentence for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to keep in mind that a high crime or misdemeanor has to have occurred. And it has to have occurred during the time in office.
Can you clear this up? When you think of high crimes, you know what that is. But a misdemeanor sounds like jaywalking.
Well, the founding fathers kept the term misdemeanor kind of loose. And the reason they left it loose was because they left it so that Congress had some flexibility with what they considered to be a crime. So we think a misdemeanor in the way of civil courts where, you know, it's a drunk driving ticket or something of that nature.
Yeah, well, drunk driving wouldn't fall into that class, I don't think.
But a misdemeanor in that federal realm is a much higher level of crime. But where I'm going with this is the way an impeachment works, a high crime or misdemeanor has taken place.
Mm-hmm. And it has to take place while in office.
While in office. Mm-hmm. And then the Congress's job is to act as the prosecutor. So right. Think about the prosecutor in a city or a state looks at evidence and issues a subpoena, a warrant, an indictment, whatever it is that they're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
So Congress, when Congress impeaches, it's really an indictment and the Senate becomes the courtroom with the chief judge presiding, the chief of the Supreme Court presiding. Senate becomes the judge or the court, and the entire body of the Senate becomes the jury. Now, what is happening in this case is in this. So this is what I want people to think about this. Here's the equivalent of what's happening. Your local police department decides that you, Chuck Woolery, have committed a crime. And you ask them, what crime did I commit? And they say, we don't know, but we're going to launch a big investigation on you until we find a crime on you, Chuck Woolery.
That's very Soviet style.
It's the presumption of guilt until someone can prove themselves innocent.
There's only one place in America that standard is normal. You know where it is?
Yeah, the IRS.
No. The military.
Well, the military.
Yeah.
But the IRS also. Because the IRS can come in and seize your assets, and then you have to prove you didn't do something wrong. Right. But regardless, we in this country, we have a presumption of innocence. You look at what happened to Kavanaugh, presumption of guilt. The president, presumption of guilt. You look at what happened with so many of the people that have been caught up in these investigations. They were all a presumption of guilt. Prove yourself innocent. This is not how our world, our country is supposed to operate. And if they can go after Brett Kavanaugh, and if they can go after a president,
but they say
that, are not safe.
Here's what they say. They say, well, this isn't a courtroom. This is not a trial.
But it really is.
Well, that's what they turn it into, but that's not what it's supposed to be. These are just, I mean, it's insane to me that all the Democrats have to do is accuse. And by accusing, the Republicans instantly go on their heels. So they accuse, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, whether there's any evidence or not, doesn't really matter. They just accuse you.
Now, I will say that the president is doing something that I
That's what Satan with. Does.
Of course.
The accuser.
Now, people always say that people claim you and I are just in the tank for Trump. Whatever he does, we agree with.
It's not true.
I'm going to tell you something that he's doing that I completely disagree with, that I think he's come totally wrong on.
Okay.
And that is the president getting involved with the banning vaping. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think vaping is good for you? No. But I don't think smoking is good for you either. Mm-hmm. But the federal government shouldn't be getting involved in it. The marketplace should be dealing with that.
Well, I think that he's more concerned about middle school kids and these, you know, where there have been six deaths. Usually it involves, I don't know, another substance that they put in this thing. I mean, I have no idea what the vaping deal is. I really don't know. And so no one's proven it.
So put an age on it, like you have alcohol and cigarettes.
I know.
But I hate to see the federal government get involved in banning stuff. They've already banned flavored vaping here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. The governor here, who is a socialist, has already banned it. Our governor here, by the way, is a former employee of George Soros.
Got his fingers in everything.
Well, she has her fingers in everything.
Well, I mean, George Soros, his fingers.
Oh, yes, he has his fingers in everything. Anyways, speaking of having your fingers in the wrong places, there's a trial beginning for it. Now, I want you to follow this with me if you're not familiar with it, Chuck. It's a guy by the name of Jonathan Vanderhagen. He's 35 years old. A judge removed his son from his home and put the son with the mother against his, you know, defense of it. And the child was killed.
How was he killed?
He was killed in the mother's home. I'm not sure how the child died, but the child died under the mother's care. And the father said that the mother wasn't qualified and safe to take care of the child, but the judge did it anyways. So the father turned to social media and started posting on social media other bad decisions by this judge. Started exposing the judge on social media for being such a crappy judge.
Let me guess. He's going to hold him in contempt of court and sue him or put him in jail.
Judge put him in jail, gave him like a $500,000 bond. And now he's under trial for this.
So what did he put him in jail for? What did he accuse him of?
Oh, see? So you're thinking this is like this First Amendment thing. It's not a First Amendment thing. The judge felt threatened.
Oh, well. He was the judge. So with this guy in jail, he's got a safe space.
The judge felt threatened by this guy posting the judge's record. Now, he never posted, I'm going to kill the judge. He never posted, people should commit violence against the judge. He never did anything like that. He just kept posting the judge's bad decisions.
Where is this judge? Where are they?
Where are these people? Let me find it here. Patrick, do you know where these folks are at? We'll find it here real quick.
But it's crack staff.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how bad this Macomb County Sheriff's Office. So is this in Michigan? Macomb County's here in Michigan. Could be another Macomb County, but it sounds like here in Michigan, Chuck. But at any rate, this guy's on trial for exercising his First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. So what does this show us? Well, this shows us when you exercise your First Amendment rights against a public official with power, you no longer have First Amendment rights.
Was this guy got a bad lawyer or something? I mean, you know.
I think this guy will win the case. The prosecution is claiming that his First Amendment rights doesn't cover it because this is like yelling fire in a theater.
Oh, really? To expose a judge's record is like, well, maybe that's true in a way.
But apparently you cannot.
It's a bad record. It could be like fire in a theater.
But apparently you cannot expose a sitting judge for what they're doing. Is it here? It is here in Michigan, Macomb County. That's just a county over from us.
So this guy wouldn't have a chance in Michigan, right?
I do not know what the story is there, but I just think that is horrific that somebody could get away with something like that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of, when you got power, you got to come up against, you can't fight city halls, what they say. And apparently that may be true.
No. And you've experienced a runaway judge.
I have.
And boy, when they're out of control, they're out of control, aren't they?
Well, they're corrupt. It's what they are.
And they get their own little fiefdom running in their own courtroom.
That's right.
And it's their own little world in behind that bench.
And it can be very corrupt.
Extremely. There was another big controversy coming up. I think this is the thing Nadler probably needs to finish the impeachment of Donald Trump.
What's that?
Apparently, Donald Trump visited his cousin's house in Scotland some time back.
Yeah.
And the cousin has accused him of stealing pancakes.
Oh, this is stupid. What?
I'm not making this up.
His cousin accused him of stealing pancakes? Oh, that's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Said he was only there for a few minutes, didn't give them any money. Well. And took three pancakes and put them in his pocket and left. Now, they don't discuss whether he poured syrup in his pocket.
No, wait a minute. This is not serious.
This is real.
No, come on.
This is not a fake story.
Trump, the great pancake thief? I mean, seriously.
He went to his cousin's house and he stole three pancakes and put them in his pocket.
In Scotland.
In Scotland.
Well, pancakes are like gold in Scotland, I guess.
So the first thing I did, the president seems to be a pretty good dresser, right?
Yeah, I don't think he'd be throwing pancakes in his suits, but you know. Maybe one side was a little lopsided.
Have you ever put a pancake in your pocket?
No, I never have. I have not put a pan. I put one in my mouth. I've never put one in my pocket.
How? What would you do with a pancake?
No, wait a minute. Wait, back up just a minute. Okay, this is stupid. It's silly. And it's all that kind of stuff.
This is a real news item.
Where did you read this?
This is big. This is Newsweek.
Oh, stop.
This is Newsweek, my friend. Newsweek.
Headline. Can you read any of the article just to give me a clue?
Newsweek. Donald Trump stole pancakes and forgot a relative was dead while visiting family. Cousin
forgot
claimed.
A relative was dead? How do you forget that?
This is Newsweek. A relative of President Donald Trump has accused the self-proclaimed billionaire, of being a pancake thief, having stolen a handful of flatcakes while on vacation at his late mother's former home in Scotland. A distant cousin of the president, Elise McKay, related to Trump through his mother's family, the McLeods, said the commander-in-chief is an unpleasant man who never used any of his health to help me and stole my pancakes. The 79-year-old spoke of glowing terms about Trump's late mother, who did not steal pancakes, Mary Ann McLeod, who died in 2000, and her older sister, Mary Ann Trump. But they were both generous people and made contributions to our town and to me. And
so let me ask you something. Why did Trump go to this house? Is there a reason that he went? Do we know?
Apparently he was in the area. He owns
just wanted
the property
to visit where
there.
His mom grew up.
And he wanted to visit where his mother grew up and stopped in for a couple of minutes. And because
they're obviously thrilled to have him.
And she recalls the morning when this happened. He was here one morning. I was busy making pancakes and he'd forgotten my husband had died. Okay. Was he supposed to storm the doors saying your husband's dead?
I don't know.
She said he put a few pancakes in his pocket and never said cheerio.
Well,
because he didn't put Cheerios in his pocket.
His pockets and never said pancakes.
Right. If he put Cheerios in his pocket, maybe he would have said Cheerio.
He would have said pancakes.
But this is what the media, this is my point. This is Newsweek.
Yeah, this is how trivial they are.
This is how bad the media is getting when a publication like Newsweek is reporting pancake,
which is basically theft. Online now because they couldn't make it in the regular world, right?
Yes. But why is that a story?
It's not. It's just a dig.
But does anybody, I mean, do the people on the left go on, do they, I'm serious, do they come unglued about reading this? Is this just, does this make them more irate that this man would hijack pancakes from this widow cousin?
Silly.
And still, what the hell would you do with a pancake in your pocket?
I don't know. I can't imagine that's true, but then again, you know, who am I?
It's bizarre. Speaking of bizarre, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is predicting that FBI Director Andrew McCabe will be hit with indictments and criminal charges. And he says that Director James Comey will face a similar fate.
Yeah, this is, pardon me for being skeptical, but I just can't see the deep state convicting the deep state of anything. I just really can't. It's like Horowitz. Is it Horowitz that was the IG?
Yeah, the IG.
Or was he the IG that didn't talk to people who were involved in the Steele dossier with the State Department?
Well, the IG came out and said that Comey broke a lot of professional rules, but
exactly.
But the AG's office decided not to prosecute.
Well, that I understand because that was like hard to prove. But the FISA thing is not going to be hard to prove. I just don't know whether they're going to hang their hat on this whole FISA thing, felonies or not.
And what's interesting is A bunch.
McCabe, I'm just really skeptical. I mean, when it comes to the deep state prosecuting each other, I'm very skeptical.
Well, McCabe claimed that all these Obama people were going to come to his defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they may. Lynch, or he may throw them under the bus if it gets real bad for him.
Well, he said Lynch and Susan Wright and Eric Holder and all these people are going to testify on his behalf.
Well, they're all complicit as well, so they might as well testify on his behalf.
Except now all those people have come out and said they're not testifying on his behalf.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So whenever it's kind of like when you shine a light in a closet full of rats, they all kind of scatter.
What do you think is going to happen with this? I mean, obviously, Horowitz is, the report is in, and they'll release it sometime, I guess, this week or next week, maybe, after the FBI gets through, blacklining everything in it.
They're going to have a hard time not prosecuting McCabe. They've got McCabe cold on leaking sensitive information to the media.
Well, and lying to Congress.
And lying to Congress. I don't know how they're going to get out of that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, James Comey's the bad actor here. Loretta Lynch is a bad actor. Page. I mean, they're all bad actors. And there was obviously a coup running to get rid of a duly elected president, which is no small thing. And it was really billed as a intelligence coup, which is under the auspices of the president.
But meanwhile, the headlines at Newsweek is the president swipes pancakes.
Well, I'm sure, look, the mainstream media will try to avoid this as best they can until it becomes so blatantly obvious that they can't. But
look at the New York slime with this Kavanaugh story, how they completely left out the fact that the so-called victim has no recollection of the incident.
Yeah, but again, I think this is all, this had nothing to do, they don't care. They could care less. They don't care if they're not the paper of note. They'll just continue to say they are. I'm telling you, this is all about the next nominee and destroying Kavanaugh as well.
So you think they're feeling pretty shaky about Ginsburg?
Yeah, I feel they're shaky about anybody that Trump is appointing.
Yeah, and the thing is,
I mean, somebody in the Democrat Party sent a letter to the Supreme Court basically threatening them, saying that if you don't have rulings that favor us, we're going to stack the court.
Yeah, they're still threatening to pack the court.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That's a game that goes all the way back to FDR.
Yeah, I know.
In case people don't know that. So
he wasn't able to do it either, but he wanted to.
But he did manage to get the Supreme Court to back down.
Mm-hmm.
So FDR, when he was instilling the New Deal, was violating the Constitution left and right. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court was finding against him. So he literally threatened the court that he was going to pack the court. And what that means, folks, is they were going to go from 9 justices to 14. And that way, the president would get to appoint 5 new Supreme Court judges in one day and make the court swing his way. And the Supreme Court, during that time, did back down and started finding in FDR's favor.
Well, the only problem is now. The only problem is they can threaten all they want to, but they're not the president. Trump is. So they can't appoint. They can't pack the court without Trump.
Well, it's
you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
This is a presidential call. This is not a congressional call.
Plus, they don't own the Senate.
Right.
So they can't do it anyways. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that could happen in this country is if any one of these people on that debate stage get elected and the Democrats get control of the House and the Senate, this country will not resemble what it currently looks like.
This country wouldn't resemble what it currently looks like if Hillary Clinton had become president.
Agreed, but at least we still would have had the Senate. But if we ever lost, so this is what I'm saying to people. It's not only important to get out and vote for president.
Oh, man.
It's absolutely important to be Congress. Involved in all the elections.
Huge, huge this time.
And I'm talking about school board, mayor, governor, Congress, Senate.
You know, that's a good point. A lot of people forget this, that it's really important in your community to support conservative candidates as well.
And Soros knows this. This is why Soros is going after all the district attorneys and all the attorney generals, because he's realized I can control the law enforcement in this entire country.
Well, you got Ilhan Omar. I can make this
a lawless country.
You got Ilhan Omar with all of her problems that no one's addressing because I think they're afraid because she's a Muslim, I guess. I don't know what it is. And a woman. And she has a myriad of problems. She really does. But her backup is Keith Ellison, who is the district attorney. What is he?
State Attorney General.
He's State Attorney General. So she's safe. Plus, yeah, she's in a community that's going to elect somebody who's Muslim anyway.
Now, if you want to see Minnesota turning lawless, just look at all the attacks and beatings that are happening in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota is just out of control right now.
You know, Minnesota is the Sweden of America right now. They're having the same problem in Sweden. They're having the same problem in all of these northern European countries because of the EU and Merkel just opened the floodgates and let all these migrants in. And now they're changing. They're literally changing the culture, changing the laws, changing everything.
They even talk like the Swedes when they say Minnesota.
Minnesota.
They are. You're right. I didn't think about that. They're like our own little American Sweden.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, women in Sweden can go to the police department. I've seen this written, oh gosh, I don't know how many times, countless times. We'll go to the police department and say they were raped by some Muslim group and thing like that, and they won't even listen to her. They don't want to hear it. Well, because those in power put those policies in place and they don't want to be challenged. And they will not be challenged because they have the power.
You want to get my
citizen.
You want to get my favorite t-shirt, go to bluntforcetruth.com to the store. And we have these great shirts that say, I love my country, but I fear my government. That is the most truthful statement that I can think of.
It is. It is.
Because I do love this country, but you would be a fool not to fear your government right now.
Well, a lot of people are catching on to what's going on and understand that Trump is becoming a great president, not just a good one, but a great one, and will go down in history books as a great one. And one of the things you notice is how virulent the left is about Trump. I mean, they cannot stand him, and there's a reason. And the reason is he's accomplishing everything they couldn't accomplish because they don't want to accomplish it. He is solving problems that Congress runs on.
Yeah, he's
they don't want to solve problems. They want to run on problems, and he's solving them. And they despise him for it.
So you live in Texas.
I do.
And by the way, as I mentioned to you, I visited your hometown last week.
Yes, I saw you standing in front of my street sign.
Yes, I took a picture in front of the Chuck Woolery Boulevard sign. Except, aren't boulevards supposed to have like a green space in the middle?
Yeah, this is interesting. That I noticed that right away because when they asked me what I would like to name the sign, I said, call it Chuck Woolery Road. And right. They had road on it for a long time, then apparently they changed it to boulevard. I have no idea why.
See, I thought a boulevard had a green space in the middle.
Yeah, well, not in Kentucky.
Well, whatever it is.
Green spaces all around it.
It's the entry to a beautiful park. It's a very nice park, by the way.
Central Park.
City looks nice. And it's funny, if you ask anybody in town about Chuck Woolery, most everybody has a Chuck Woolery story.
That's what Roland Burns always said. I didn't believe him.
Everyone or everyone's mother went to school with you.
Well, it's possible at this point in time in my life.
which at this point would make me think your high school had about 10,000 people in it. Because everybody went to school with you.
Yeah, I graduated from the high school my mom graduated from.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It is still a nice town. It's still, it's very, it's actually like a Norman Rockwell painting when you go there.
Ashland is coming out of the doldrums, so to speak, because of Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, industry is doing well and the town is doing well.
It is. It looked like it was doing great. Mm-hmm. It really is like a Norman Rockwell painting.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
But my question to you, as a resident of Texas, did you tell Beto O'Rourke you would give up your AR-15?
No. I don't have AR-15.
Do you know anyone?
I'm the only person in Texas that doesn't own an AR-15.
I'll send you one.
I know. You have a bunch.
Do you know anyone in Texas who told Beto O'Rourke that they would happily give up their AR-15?
I do not.
Okay, because as you know, Beto claims that Texans have told him they'll happily give them up.
The thing that drives me nuts with this, they keep talking a military weapon. It's a military weapon, and it's not a military weapon. The military wouldn't use these weapons, AR-15 or AK-47. Period.
It's a hunting weapon.
But how do they get away with this? They just keep saying it over and over again, and no one challenges them. No one corrects them and says, wait a minute, these are not military weapons.
They keep using the term assault weapon, weapons belonging on a battlefield, weapons of war.
Exactly.
I always challenge them, show me any military unit in the world that is arming their people with an AR-15.
There aren't.
Of course not. You would be insane. Now, the best part that got out of this, though.
Most people that are talking about guns know nothing about guns.
Which you notice that.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I get these people on Twitter, which will start arguing with me how AR-15s can fire 7,000 rounds a second, and so on and so forth. And they're fully automatic, semi-automatic. So here's everything the Democrats do, that the liberals do, they automatically contradict themselves. So an AR-15 is a weapon of war. Mm-hmm. Then a conservative says, but we have the right to have weapons because we can stand. We have the right to stand up to a tyrannical government. Mm-hmm. Then they respond with, you think your stupid little AR-15 is going to hold up against military weapons?
Yeah, right. Of course, okay. I think they're probably talking about bazookas and tanks.
But if the AR-15 is now not, is it a military weapon or is it not a military weapon?
I know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like the New York Times. They can say anything they want to and just lay it out there and look as stupid and foolish as they possibly can, and a whole lot of people will go along with them, and they don't care. They could care less.
And that is why I am starting to practice the same thing. I put out last night on Twitter that I have a new book coming out. In my book, I tell a story about how Maisie Herraro fondled me while I was eating a chicken sandwich at a Chick-fil-A. Oh, and how I actually have no recollection or memory of this ever happening.
Yeah, but somebody told you it did.
But somebody told me it did. And immediately, 100 people on Twitter chimed in and said they were witnesses.
They were witnesses to this thing. Yes, of course. We saw it. And who is Maisie Herraro? Who is that?
Herraro, the lunatic from Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about now. Okay, thank you.
Because she came out and said that Justice Kavanaugh has to be removed because of this woman's claim that she can't remember anything.
Yeah, I know.
So,
well, she doesn't even know about it. She didn't know about it until somebody told her about it.
Well, somebody –
really? That happened to me? I didn't know that.
It's two people selling a book.
Well, yeah.
Wrote it in a book.
Plus the guy who's it's really kind of an interesting connection. The guy who – what, Max Steyer? Is that his name?
Max Steyer.
Yeah, Max Steyer. Clinton lawyer. Was a Clinton lawyer, but he was a Clinton lawyer during the Clinton-Lewinsky situation, and he was opposed by – guess who? Brett Kavanaugh, who was working for, what's his name?
Also Steyer.
You know what's his name. I'll never forget what's his name.
What's his name? Steyer is also the lawyer who negotiated the $865,000 settlement between Clinton and Paula Jones.
But how did they list him in the New York Times piece? He's the head of an organization. It's completely whitewashed his whole background.
Correct. No, he's a highly respected.
Everybody in Washington is highly respected by everybody in Washington.
So if you can impeach Brett Kavanaugh because two people wrote a book who recount something that the actual person can't remember, then why can't I write a book that said Maisie, you know, fondled me at the Chick-fil-A, even though I have no memory of this ever happening? I'm sticking with that story.
So let me ask you a question. Do you really believe, now we're about ready to open, tie this all up right now, but do you believe that Kavanaugh should sue Max Steyer or whoever, these women?
Here's the problem with that.
What?
Would I love to see that? Yes.
It's defamation of character. It really is.
It is, but when you get into the legal the legal background of defamation and slander cases, they're only collectible if you can prove financial loss. So Kavanaugh would have...
reputation is not worth anything?
Loss of reputation, only if you can prove that that loss of reputation cost you financially. So in the case of Kavanaugh, as long as he doesn't lose his salary, then he's safe. Now if Kavanaugh, as example, as a Supreme Court judge, he could be a guest professor someplace. Now, if a college was to say, well, we don't want you as a guest professor because you were accused of this, now he's got a lawsuit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he was a guest professor before he was a Supreme Court justice, and I think that all went away, didn't it?
I do believe that has gone away. So there could be a pathway.
I mean, Christine Balsey Ford, go after her too. Go after all of them.
I think she should be prosecuted is what I think should happen.
Everybody on the right and the left came out and said she's so credible, talking like a 16-year-old child with a PhD. Please. It's just because it leaves you speechless, doesn't it?
It does.
It's here we are on a podcast and we're speechless.
I have no words for Christine Blasey Ford, other than I wish that they would prosecute her. I hope they do.
Well, folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it, and leave us a good review on where do they leave the reviews?
iTunes.
Yeah.
Or Podcast One.
Yeah, please leave us a good review, because if you do, it makes us feel good.
And feel tell like other people another about show. The show.
Yeah, thanks for listening. This is Chuck Woolery for Mark Young, and we'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth.